Welcome to Gull Sports. You have entered the zone called sports on another level. And now, here's your host, Cole Johnson.
Gull Sports! I am that man, your man, the illustrious tour guide, Cole Johnson. And on this episode, a champion learning how to be a leader in the midst of trial. Of course, we're going to go in on Boogie. Have an interesting Dolt of the Week, and then we're going to dig into the NHL, and upon further review, I think you'll enjoy this. But for now, headlines, please! Dateline Melbourne. 23-time Grand Slam winner Serena Williams played Diana Yastremska in the third round of the first Grand Slam of the year, the Australian Open. She had an easy time of it, really, beating Yastremska 6-2, 6-1, but it wasn't the match that captured the interest of her. It was the competitive spirit of Yastremska, because after match point was done, she went to her, well, mentor and idol, cried on the spot, and was distraught because, well, she lost. Williams, being the competitive person but the compassionate person along with it, hugged her and consoled her on the court. After the match, this is what she had to say about the exchange. Quote, as she was walking towards the net, I could tell she was quite upset. I kind of like that. It shows she wasn't just there to play a good match. She was there to win. She wanted the win. That really broke my heart. I think she's a good talent. It's good to see that attitude. Close quote. And you wonder why I like Serena. It's stories like these as to why. It's hard to dislike this woman because she just knows how to be a champion in all facets of the game. Dateline Foxborough. Sarah Thomas. Now, the name itself doesn't really strike any bells with anybody, but she is an NFL referee. She actually has been one for the last four NFL seasons. But why is she making news? Well, she is making news because she, in a division round game with the Chargers and the Patriots, became the first woman to officiate an NFL playoff game. And quite frankly, for almost all the wrong the Shield does, this is one of the right things they do. So sometimes you have to shine the light on the right things, because Lord knows we shine the light on all the wrong things they do, myself included, as we should. Dateline NFL playoffs. All right, so we got down to the final four. The Rams and Saints in the NFC. The Patriots and Chiefs in the AFC. All four teams have this one thing in common. The other 28 teams were not offensively better than the other four, the last remaining four. And both games really entertained. Now, I'm not going to go into depth as to the games this week. I'll go into depth next week about the games, because there's a lot to unravel and unpack. But in the NFC Championship game, the Rams came back from a 13-0 deficit early in the second quarter, and with a fake punt, got back in the game, tied it at 20, and then tied it at 23 to force it in overtime. And then after a pick that breezed through, the Rams went about 20 yards downfield, and a 57-yard field goal was kicked, and the Rams are onward to Atlanta. And they will face, again, the New England Patriots. Yes, again, as in the two teams have met off in the Super Bowl before. And again for the Patriots, because they just brought the lunch pail. They blanked the Chiefs in the first half, 14-0. But Pat Mahomes showed that he is elite. And you will hear me say this now. He is the next elite NFL quarterback. Feverishly coming back to score 31 second half points and 24 of them in the fourth quarter. And it was four lead changes that happened in the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship. Two scores within the final minute forced overtime. The Patriots won the flip, and then they went down and scored six. As I said, I'll unpack both games in detail next week. Dateline Los Angeles. Now, you have to understand the sports landscape in Southern California. You have two NFL teams, the Chargers and the Rams. You have two big-time college programs in UCLA and USC. And, of course, basketball and football are huge in that area. You have two NHL teams, the Ducks in Anaheim and the Kings in LA. Then, of course, you have the NBA teams, the Lakers and the Clippers. And then, of course, you have the two Major League Baseball teams, the Angels down in Anaheim and, of course, the Dodgers in Chavez Ravine. Knowing this, the ownership group of the Dodgers still wants to make the fan experience even greater. Now, Dodger Stadium is going to host a 2020 All-Star Game or 2020 All-Star Game, and they want to expand the experience. And so now they have planned a high-speed underground system, nightclubs, sports bars, and they're going to up the Wi-Fi experience there. All of this to entertain, really, quite frankly, I'm going to be really blunt, the most supportive fan base in all of sports. And I don't mean North American sports. I mean all of. Dateline NBA! So last year, people raised a stink and a furor about not seeing the All-Star voting process or the All-Star draft. Well, TNT this year will televise that draft on the 7th of February. Dateline Los Angeles. Again. Urban Meyer, the former head coach of Florida, of Utah, of Ohio State, now is on the verge of being an analyst, probably for college football, for Fox Sports. Now, he, of course, after his Rose Bowl victory against Washington, said that this was his swan song. And I understand why. I mean, hey, you can only feign but so many headaches. You can only hurt so many times. You can only have shortness of breath so few amount of times. I get it. And you also can only be tight-lipped about your staff doing ridiculous things for only a little bit. So he can actually do this anonymous, or at least a little more anonymously, by being an analyst. Urban, you know the sport. Yes, you're one of the best coaches that has been in college football the last 20 years. Kudos to you for that. Unfortunately, we're going to know you for introducing the criminal element to the sport. Because if it wasn't for one of your assistant head coaches that you shut your mouth for in being domestically irresponsible with his ex-wife, it is turning a blind eye towards someone like Aaron Hernandez, who you could have straighten up, put on the right path. Instead, he got to the league being criminal, got put in jail, and now he's dead. And a lot of that is due to you because you have lived on the grace, for lack of a better word, of being Tim Tebow's head coach in college. Well, I see you far beyond that. Dateline Boston. Kyrie Irving, Uncle Drew, has grown up. So we got a glimpse, I think, because of this as to what he was going through in Cleveland. Now, earlier this month, he ran off at the mouth saying that he wanted his teammates to play better. But after the backlash he received from that criticism that he put forth out into the media, he realized, rut-row, I stepped in it. And then he realized, oh, so this is what LeBron was trying to tell me all those years ago. And so he said that he talked to LeBron. He apologized for his behavior before he left Cleveland. And now he understands what it is to have the mantle of being, I guess you could say, a leading scorer and a leader. And he talked about what he said in the following quote. I said, quote, it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron and tell him I apologized for being that young player that wanted to have everything at his fingertips. And I wanted everything to be at my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to change. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that. And the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for everybody. Sometimes getting the most out of a group isn't the easiest thing in the world. close quote. No, son, it's not. But in your year of discovery that the world is round, it's great to you to understand that being the leading scorer of a team and being the leader of one are two different responsibilities. And it's a mantle that is very heavy for the person who wants to hold it. So kudos to you to learn a leadership tool. Now, hopefully you applied this to your young squad that you have to lead, because you have the championship experience they also crave, including your head coach, Brad Stevens. So good luck to you, Kyrie. You'll need it. And upon further review, we're going to talk about the NHL. But immediately following the break, Boogie? We're going to be boogieing? Yeah. I gots to go in! The VIP Honors, now premiering February 3rd. Welcome back, Cole Johnson, Cole Sport. And when I saw this happen around this time last year, my heart sank. So you remember that tear that DeMarcus Cousins was on in January, where he was scoring 40 points and getting 20 rebounds, and I think even a couple of games he actually had triple doubles, scoring 40 points, pulling on 20 boards, and even getting 10 assists at the same time. He was on a tear where you were thinking, okay, we've been waiting for this DeMarcus Cousins to show he's about to be an MVP candidate. And then in the game against the Rockets, at the end of it, his Achilles just went out. And I remember having this pall in my own stomach, because I was like, man, I like this kid. I like what he can do. And now I won't be able to see it. And hopefully we will see it. 1 year later, we did. But it doesn't matter to me what team he's on. It just matters if he can do his craft again. And I'm about to go in! Number zero on the jersey, number one in Golden State's hearts. Pretty much now one of the most hated people, just because of jersey association, for NBA fan DeMarcus Cousins, the center extraordinaire, has returned on the court. In a game against the Clippers, he had only 15 minutes, but he did some damage, 14 points, 6 rebounds, and he fouled out in the game. But we saw glimpses of what it would be like if he were to be on the Warriors. And what I saw, and hopefully you all could help me out here, was I saw a lot of pick and rolls, a lot of high screening rolls, and I also saw, and this really isn't a shock, he also can chunk the three like Klay, like Curry, like Durant, and sometimes like Green does. So the Warriors can still spread the floor, but they have an inside presence that can also fill it up in the paint too, which makes the Warriors dangerous. And I have been on record, and I will say this still, because I still believe this. The Warriors didn't really need Cousins, period, but they certainly didn't need him to be on the court until sometime after the All-Star break. I mean, March 1st would have been good enough. All you needed was for him to have at least 6 weeks of good action to test out the Achilles, to make sure he's fine, to get him in NBA shape, because you really needed him for mid-April, all of May, and the beginning of June. That's really what you need Cousins for. Besides, when you looked at the Warriors, when Cousins stepped on the court, the Warriors were right there with the Nuggets for the best record in the Western Conference. So it's not like they needed him as an element for a boost. This is more or less an insurance policy. And so, in my estimation, you could keep that bullet in the back pocket. Be like, okay, we'll pull it out when he's ready, and we'll pull it out when we are ready. And mid-January is not really the time that they were ready. It's the time that he was, because, I mean, it's been almost a year. But for the full team to be ready, I mean, this team has won 2 championships with the current roster. So it's not as if they needed Cousins, but they got him. And now he's playing, and he played to rave reviews, even with the fallout. Still played with rave reviews, because it was good to see him get on the court, test out the Achilles, seemed to be moving fine, no lingering effects of the injury. And I think we saw something that we haven't really seen all that much on the court. We saw Boogie smile. Now, we all thought last year was going to be the first year that he was going to taste playoff success, or at least taste playoff anything, because he's never been. But that got derailed, of course, with his injury last year. Well, now he's on the champions, the defending 2-time champions. We may see it now. But I think we're also seeing a different type of Boogie. You see, I think he's more reflective, more contemplative, more appreciative, I think, of where he is now, because I think the injury made him understand how, I guess you could say, not fragile, but tenuous athleticism can be with anybody, not just him. And he said this himself in an article with USA Today. This is what he had to say about the injury and at least the last year plus that he's undergone. Quote, that put everything in perspective. It wasn't planned or anything. She just caught me in a good moment and sent it to me. Think about where you are now and where you came from. Close quote. Now, I'll set the picture for you. So he was sitting in a wheelchair and he was staring out into the sunset. And his girlfriend, Morgan Lang, she took a picture of him. And normally when you are in that mode, you are running through so many different things in your mind. You're being contemplative. You're being reflective. You're being thankful. And probably sometimes you're being angry. Because it's like, doggone it, I'm not meant to be sitting in a chair and being wheeled all over the place. You know, I'm meant to run up and down 94 feet of a court for at least 35 minutes a game. I'm meant to score 25 points and pull down 12 boards. I've been doing this and people have been telling me this since before I was a prospect in Kentucky. But I'm sitting in a wheelchair. I get it. And now it can serve him as fuel for being even better now, because it's like, wow, I went from this to now playing for the defending world champs. Wow. I worked hard to get here. Now I can work even harder to stay here. A motivated DeMarcus Cousins. When you think about it, that's a scary prospect. But I think it's one we're going to have to embrace, all the while appreciating all the gifts that he possesses naturally and now gratitudinally. Boogie, I've always been a fan of you, and I've always felt that you were misunderstood because you just were frustrated and being in a place where I think your gifts just didn't shine and it wasn't meant to shine. Well, you don't have that excuse here, and you don't have that excuse with this team. You're going to do well, my man, and I look forward to seeing what your future holds. I don't think you will be in Golden State after this year, but if you are, so be it. All I care about is you are healthy, that you play like you did before you got injured, and that you show us all why you are one of the best big men in the National Basketball Association. When I come back, Big Macs, Whoppers, Dave's singles, doubles, and triples at the White House? Dope the week time next. You've tuned into the classiest sports show on the planet. Cold Sport! From the vault, a look back at a key moment in sports history. January 19th, 1974. The juggernaut basketball program UCLA was riding high off of a record-setting 88-game winning streak, and they took it to South Bend, Indiana, where they faced off against number 2, Notre Dame. The Bruins were up 11 with about 3.5 minutes to go in the game, but history caught up with UCLA.
Brokaw had it, but couldn't hang on. Notre Dame 71, UCLA 70 with 6 seconds left. Into Walton, he can't score. Turnovich, Myers, Fuming, it's all over.
Notre Dame has won the game.
The number one ranked UCLA Bruins have been upset by the Irish of Notre Dame. 71-70, the longest winning streak in collegiate sports history has ended where it began.
Senator John Shumate, guard Gary Brokaw, and Dwight Clay all were key contributors in the 71-70 upset of UCLA. Notre Dame breaks the 88-game winning streak of UCLA with a 71-70 victory at South Bend. From the Vault, brought to you by Cold Sport. Welcome back to Cold Sports. Cole Johnson here. Dolt of the Week. Dolt of the Week, sponsored by nobody, but we're still going to give it to you straight with No Chaser. The winner of this episode's Dolt of the Week is... Clemson football head coach Dabo Swinney. Now, why am I awarding him the Dolt of the Week? I am so glad you asked. Now, he's a nice guy, Christian man, does everything strictly by the book. You know, he's a wonderful guy for the most part. But to me, what he did was inexcusable. Now, I'm going to take you on a slight journey. So they had a wonderful victory. In fact, they spanked the Crimson Tide 44-16 in Northern California. And they hosted their second national championship in 4 years. So they're riding high. And they, of course, get invited to the White House. And they dined. They dined like kings. No. They dined like princes. No. They dined like dukes. No. They dined like paupers. 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 I mean, when you get served Big Macs, Quarter Pounders, Whoppers, Big Kings, and Wendy's 4 for $4, that is fine dining for you, especially when you have fine china on which to serve it. Now, many are looking at this as, well, the president should not have actually bought all that stuff. At least if he's going to buy food, he should buy food that's befitting of where they're eating. This is supposed to be a high class place. You're supposed to serve high class food. Fast food is not high class food. So I get that. I also get why President Trump served that food, because it was a message to pretty much everybody, but the Democrats in particular, that, okay, normally when you have a government shutdown, the funds really aren't there for the government to put forth a good meal. Because if there wasn't a shutdown, we would serve these young lads good food. But since we aren't, I have to dig into my pocket and pay for fast food. So I get the message that it was meaning to be sent. But I don't really have the outrage toward him. Because, you see, Swinney could have said, "No! We're not eating this garbage." Think about it this way. The Clemson nutritionist probably looked at Swinney and say, "They're serving what at the White House? They can't be serving that at the White House. They can't be serving chicken wraps." They had some salad there, but chicken wraps, Filet-O-Fish, and other, quote, hamburgers. Close quote. Yes, not hamburgers, hamburgers. And so I look towards Swinney, because he could have nixed that and said, "Mr. President, I respect what you're doing, but I can't have my boys eating this type of food." Now, you serve any 18, 19, 20, 21 year old male any type of fast food, they'll gobble it up. Guilty as charged, did it many times. So I don't fault the players, because they are going to eat that. So can I say that Trump didn't read the room right? No, I can't say that, because I think he did. But sometimes as the head coach, you have to do things for the betterment of the team. And one of those things you do for the betterment of the team is make sure the nutrition is better than fast food. But no, you held up dipping sauce. Sad, son. Sad. And I also get it too, Swinney. You are the exact voter. The exact prototypical voter that someone like a Donald Trump would seek. I hand you slop, you accept said slop. No questions asked. Bravo. It's wonderful that your staff, your players, and yourself got served absolute slop at the White House. Chew on that, Mr. Kumbaya. Chew on that. When I come back, the NHL's most profitable and story franchises not doing so hot? Upon further review, is next. Perfect. Sports now on Radio Haver every Wednesday. Thank you, VIP. Coming up in the next installment of Cold Sports, we're going to talk about the NFC and AFC championship games in depth. And then we're going to turn our attention towards Super Bowl 53 between the Patriots and the Rams. We're also going to see if Serena gets number 24 down under. Of course, go in on the subject upon further review, do something along those lines of whatever is really grinding my gears and piquing my investigative interests. And of course, have the Dolt of the Week. And of course, next month, not too long from now, Cole Sports gives you the award show to the end of all the award shows. The VIP Honors. It was Sunday, January 27th. It's moved to Sunday, February 3rd. And get this, Dolt of the Year, Skit of the Year, Segment of the Year, Episode of the Year, Going In on the Year, all will be awarded, plus your favorite skits, all on tap. The award show to end all the award shows is coming very soon. The VIP Honors. That's for later. For now, the National Hockey League, they're trying to get every advantage they possibly can. But for the original six, or at least most of the original six, and some big market name teams, the going is really tough. I'm going to expound on why and upon further review. Red Wings, Blackhawks, Rangers, Flyers, Kings. Now, what do all of these teams have in common? Well, either they are the original six or part of it. The Red Wings, Blackhawks, and Rangers definitely are. Or they're big market teams, which, of course, the Flyers and the Kings fit into that category. But they also have one more distinction in common. Of the eight teams that are at the bottom of the NHL standings, these teams are looking up at the rest of the league. Now, normally in sports, you want to have your story franchises or your big market teams do well. Normally. Why? Because you have the biggest interest in those teams. Either the population will bring eyeballs to the screen or history and tradition will. Just look at the NBA. Why people salivate, or at least the NBA offices salivate, over when the Celtics and Lakers are good and always hope for the Knicks to be good. Or the NFL. They want the Cowboys and Steelers to do well. Their story franchises. And then, of course, there's the Giants, the Washington NFL franchise, Philadelphia, and the Patriots. And now, of course, LA with the Chargers and Rams. Big market teams, big interest. Major League Baseball, Red Sox and Yankees. They have history and their big market teams, along with the Cardinals and Dodgers. So you get what I'm saying here. Normally with more eyeballs, or at least more traditional eyeballs on the screen, your product does better. And of course, when you're talking about the National Hockey League, you're dealing with a structure that needs to have all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed, and all of the breaks work in their favor. And they've done a lot to spur interest back into the game. The Winter Classic. You know, it's their big platform that isn't the All-Star Game or the Stanley Cup playoffs, where they play this grand game in front of at least a 60,000 seat stadium. So they're doing things to spice up the league. But along with that spicing up, you need to have certain teams do well. But in this case, it's not happening. Take, for instance, the Flyers. Now, former goalie, now general manager Ron Hextall is really trying to build a new program, so to speak, and is building a team that is all 23 and under. Now, normally when you have a team that young in the pros, generally, you're not looking for a championship club, whether it is hockey or baseball or football or basketball, it doesn't matter. Normally when a team is that young, you're not looking for the present, much like in NFL with the Rams, who they're sliding all chips to the center of the table and say, we need a championship now, and make all these trades for these veterans to intermingle with the youngsters they do have on the team. No, when a team is comprised of youngsters, you're looking toward the future. That's the case with the Flyers. That also is the case with the Red Wings. And it's becoming the case with, and you would never think it, the New York Rangers. Now, you know, when you think of anything New York, The Yankees want to have that big ticket free agent all the time, every single year, every single offseason. You got to have that big ticket free agent because they got to compete for the World Series now, every year, every year. The Knicks. All right, who's going to be the next Patrick Ewing, or who's going to bring us that clout that we've been seeking ever since 1973? The Giants. All right, well, we have who we could say is a top 10 quarterback. I don't, because he's won two championships. I don't believe that. So we got to be a competing team, and we have the highest ticketed wide receiver in the game on our squad. So we should be back in prominence, but they're not. So you see the mentality of New York fan, and it could be the Giants, it could be the Jets, it could be the Rangers, it could be the Knicks, it could be the Yankees, it even could be the Mets. Doesn't matter. But the Rangers actually are flipping on its ear and looking toward the future themselves. A 23-year-old defenseman, 19 and 20 and 23-year-old forwards. They're looking toward 2020 and 21 and 22, and that normally is not the mark of any New York franchise. Now, of course, with a rabid fan base such as them, it's a hard pill to swallow, but swallow they will. Then there's the Blackhawks, who they have won 3 Stanley Cups in the last 7 years, but they just booted out their head coach back in December. Now, it's funny when I look at this team, and they were the stalwart or the standard not too long ago. And now you have an embattled leader on the team who, he's still on it, but it's not as effective as he was in their heyday. You have youngsters who are coming up, but it looks like they've been ravaged by depth. But they're a little further along than the rest, and it looks like they're looking toward the next year and maybe 2020 for them to come back and reassert themselves and get back to the prominence that they experienced earlier this decade. And then there are the Kings. Now, they are on the opposite end of the Rangers, Blackhawks, and Flyers. They are old. And when I say old, I mean sports old. And normally when you say that a team is sports old, that means you have a lot of players who are over that age level of 30. And when you have a team that's 30 and above, you normally write AARP prescriptions for them. And that's where the Kings are. It looks like they have to hit their rock bottom before coming back up. The other three teams I mentioned seem to have already hit their rock bottom. It seems like the Kings haven't gotten there yet. Now, I'm not saying the NHL is putrid because these teams are at the bottom. No, I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that there's no hope for the NHL because three of the original six and two of the big market teams are circling the drain. No, I'm not saying that either. What I am saying is that you do have some teams. I live in Nashville. The Predators are trying to claw their way up to being the number one seed in the West again, like they achieved last year. And of course, they didn't get to the Stanley Cup Finals. But you got exciting teams like them, like the team in Columbus, like the Bruins. I mean, you have teams that are good, and you have a sport that seems to be teeming with excitement. The problem is you need to have your stalwart franchises to make the product great. And to borrow a phrase that has been so often used, in order to make hockey great again, you need to have those aforementioned teams, I won't say be Stanley Cup contenders, but at least be prominent enough. In order to have the NHL stand a chance to compete, get close to, and knock down a peg or two one of the other three sports and the sports leagues, in order to reach where the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball is right now, you got to have the Red Wings, the Blackhawks, the Rangers, the Kings, the Flyers. You got to have those teams be prominent. You got to have those teams, and dare say even San Jose, since they're near a top 10 DMA. And now the Penguins, who now they have built the championship pedigree, and the Capitals, who they're also in a top 10 DMA. You got to have those teams do well. You got to have those teams compete for the Stanley Cup. Not necessarily be in a Stanley Cup final, but at least in the playoffs hunt, and at least in the playoffs. Because whether we all like it or not, sports is best served when the most eyeballs are on it. And for the NHL, these five teams fit the bill. Now, will they succeed in rebuilding and restoring their past glory in their future? Only time can tell. Only we will see that when the proof is in the pudding, as they would say. But the fact of the matter is, you got to have these teams do something. And it looks like all of them have eyes on youth. And it looks like they are targeting the early 2020s to do something magical. The question is, will they get there with the philosophies they all have? Well, that's on them. I know this. The NHL needs these teams to do well. If not, it will recede as more of the regional and seasonal game that unfortunately it is fast becoming. I like the NHL. But the question is, does the NHL like us? If you like this episode or any episode that you have heard thus far, the subscribe button is waiting for you. Click it, and you will tune into Cole Sports with a Z. And if you want to reach me through email, through social media, through any other means, ColeSportsWithAZ.com is where you will find me. If you want to say something on the air, say it with your chest, you can do that. ColeSportsWithAZ.com. If you have any voiceovers or commercials that you would like for this voice to do, ColeSportsWithAZ.com is where you come. Past guest appearances, or even join my private Facebook group, ColeSportsWithAZ.com. Come on. Click it. You're right there. And if you want merchandise, ColeSportsWithAZ.com has that for you as well. Remember, ColeSportsWithAZ.com is where you come. And all I want you to do is three simple things. Three. Not one, not two, but three. Love yourself with all your heart. Tell a friend to tell a friend about about this particular program and enjoy the content. For the Intelligent Sportsman, I am Cole Johnson, and this is
You've been listening to Cole Sports with Cole Johnson.